Be seated. Let's turn to Titus chapter 3, verse 5, as we continue to deal with the doctrine of regeneration. Regeneration. Amen. Which basically speaks about our position, amen, as saved ones, as children of God. What does it mean to be saved?
Right.
Amen. What is your state and your condition having been called out of darkness, called out of the world, and placed into Christ? What advantages or benefits?
Yes.
As in anything, we always ask the question, anything that we are affiliated with, anything that we are part of, we look at what advantages and what benefits are there in what I am a part of.
Right.
What is it that has happened to me? Mm-hmm. Amen. And also, what is my future?
Come on.
Amen. Normally, when we think of a future, we think of that which is to occur in this world. Amen. What our future, many times we're looking at retirement, looking at pensions, looking at, amen, the day that I kids get grown and they're gone, hopefully.
Right. Right.
Looking at a lot of things. Mm-hmm. But the future is not a future if it has an end.
Come on, come on.
There is a terminate point. You cannot refer to it as a future. If it's temporary, you cannot really refer to it. Future. Future, in the truest sense, focuses on that which is perpetual.
All right.
It's continuous. And it just goes on and on and on and on and on. So if it's not everlasting, it's not a future. It is a temporary duration that is ahead of you, that has an end point.
End point.
Amen. It's not the future. Amen. The Bible tells us that we're in Christ Jesus. We have been saved and placed in Christ Jesus. And it speaks of eternity, everlasting, forever. Amen. But you know, all of this is focused above the world that we live in, that we occupy in right now. Amen. And so it is a great thing to know and to understand what security and a future really means, what it is.
That's right.
Amen. We all want to feel safe.
Yes.
Amen. What is safety? Amen. Safety is a state that is free from harm, to not be in harm's way. You only get that. You don't get that. You cannot get that from anything in the world, anything that is happening out there. There's a threat to it. Amen. Be safe is really to be free from threat.
That's right.
Not only free from an incident, but free from the threat of an incident.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
And so you got to project beyond this world. And this is what the Word of God is trying to teach us. And to do this, it projects and it casts its scope beyond the surrounding things around us that we taste, touch, smell, physically connect with. It is beyond those things. It is the, it goes into what is described as eternity. What is eternity? Amen. Eternity is where God is. Eternity is who God is.
Come on.
Amen. Time and creation were all made of God. God created time.
Right.
Amen. He created the world.
Right.
Amen. But he has eternal plan for us to be with him.
Mm-hmm.
I can't understand why the focus of many of the ministries is on the things that are around us. And the Bible is teaching us that these things are passing away.
That's right.
Amen. The Bible is telling us, but we aren't listening.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
As we look into our Titus chapter 3, verse 5. We see the status and state of our condition.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Elder Deacon Gavin is our designated reader this morning. Brother Deacon, why don't you go back up to verse 4. Start with verse 4. Amen. I guess we got time this morning. Let's start with verse 1. Amen. Read.
Titus 3, verse 1.
Mm-hmm.
Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work.
So the Bible does speak that we should be good citizens, and we, amen, in the world we live in, amen, we're in the world,
mm-hmm.
we're not of the world,
right.
but we're in the world,
mm-hmm.
amen. So, it basically tells us to function within that which we are temporary in, and that is in the world.
Right.
Amen. Keep reading.
Mm-hmm. To speak evil of no man,
mm-hmm.
to be no brawlers,
mm-hmm.
but gentle,
mm-hmm.
showing all meekness unto all men.
So this is what the scriptures are telling us we should do. But what is really going on is in verse 3. Read.
For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another.
That's what's really going down. All right. Amen. And thank God that that's not an eternal
statement.
Oh my God. But now we get to what we call the good news. This is the good news. Verse 4.
But after that, the kindness.
In the midst of all of this, God has showed us kindness.
And love of God.
In the midst of all of this, God has showed us love.
Our Savior toward man appeared.
Mm-hmm.
Not by works of righteousness which we have done.
All right. Now, this gets down to the real subject matter
mm-hmm.
of what God has done and what is God's motivation.
Mm-hmm.
Most religions teach you that you got to do something to get something.
Right.
They tell you that you got to be good, you got to do this and that. Mm-hmm. And yet, what's happening is right up in verse 3, mm-hmm. amen, because we are sinners.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. We are in depraved human flesh.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And everything that we would do good, mm-hmm. our flesh want to do just the opposite. And so there's a conflict there.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are very honest with yourself, it would be very conflictual for you to follow a doctrine that tells you that you must do something to please God in order for him to bless you.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Because if our completely pleasing God was the criteria for him blessing us,
mm-hmm.
we would never get any blessings.
Never.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Was that one step forward and 5 steps backwards. That's basically, amen, how the human flesh functions. Amen. But how is God showing his kindness and love to us?
Mm-hmm.
Read.
Not by works of righteousness which we have done.
Not that way.
But according to his mercy.
According to his mercy.
He saved
according,
us.
He saved you according. Mercy means withheld judgment.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Mercy is an appeal to receive what you don't deserve.
That's right.
Amen. Not what you do deserve. Mm-hmm. So grace and mercy are the only basis that we can be saved by. Not by some rituals, not by some canons and rules or something. These are all man-made religions telling you, amen, that here are the 5 steps to getting to heaven and all of this, and you must do that and you must do the other. Amen. All of these things telling us what we must do, but and these are actually the things we can't do. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And but here the scripture is. What does the scripture say?
Right.
It is by his mercy he saved us.
Mm-hmm.
How did he do it?
By the washing of regeneration,
mm-hmm,
and renewing of the Holy Ghost.
Okay, washing, and you see this word regeneration here. Regeneration. Washing, regeneration, renewal, Holy Spirit. Keep those in mind. We're coming right back to those. In verse 6, he says, what?
Which he shed on us abundantly.
All right. He shed, that word in the Greek means poured.
Mm-hmm.
It is spoken of in the past tense.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And when you look closely in the scriptures, you will see that these things were determined by God,
mm-hmm,
before creation, before he ever created you.
Right.
This is why in the Old Testament, David could say that he knew me before I was ever formed,
mm-hmm,
in the womb of my mother's belly.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So it's not a matter of one day you attracted God's attention.
Mm-mm.
Amen.
Mm-mm.
He created you, so he knew you.
Mm-hmm.
And those who were his, he knew. Mm-hmm. The Lord knows those that are his. Is that scripture?
Yes, sir.
Amen. How long has he known you? He is from eternity. He knew you. He created you. Amen. He is the one that made you to be you.
That's right.
So,
amen.
Yes, oh, my God.
Hallelujah.
Now, we've been dealing with the doctrine of regeneration. Again, that Greek word comes from combining two words. One word is polyne, which means again. The other word is eunesi in the Greek. It means birth, born again. And of course, you hear that all the time. New birth, born again. And basically, we've been taught that what born again means is that you did something or said something, amen, and because of what you did or said, amen, God reclassified you.
Right.
We are taught, amen, further, as we have moved in our discourse, that one has to repent and believe. Repent, as we've said, simply means a change of mind. Now, I know some have made it to be much more than that. It's something that you do, something that you continually do. You continually, each time, coming to God for him to forgive you for this, that, and other.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, that has to do with fellowship. That has nothing to do with your eternal position in him,
right,
before the foundation of the world.
Mm-hmm.
According to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4,
mm-hmm,
according as he chose us in him,
yeah,
before the foundation of the world.
Mm-hmm.
He saved us before the foundation of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And so, repenting, a change of mind, a change of heart, of course you experience that when you're saved.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. But that is not the essence of what saved you.
Right.
It's the blood of Jesus that was shed for you before you ever came on the scene.
Mm-hmm.
And he died once in eternity and for all.
Mm-hmm.
So what's happening on any given day and any time is not determining where you're going to go and whether you're going to be with him forever or what your life is going to be and all of these things that we are taught. Remember,
mm-hmm.
if the change of mind is the basis of you getting into Christ, what happens if you change your mind again? Or what they call backslide.
I'm
running to people that say, well, I used to walk with the Lord. I used to be in Christ and this and that happened and problems and the situations of life that do happen.
It happens.
Mm-hmm. It happens. Things happen. Mm-hmm. Don't things happen?
Yeah. Hmm?
And of course, on any given day, your status can't be based upon what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
It cannot be. Mm-hmm. Amen. If there's to be security, cannot be based on your state of affairs.
Because right.
sometimes things are okay and sometimes things are not okay.
Mm-hmm.
Things are not okay. But what we've been taught down through the years, amen, is your state of affairs is based upon where you are at any particular time. This is why people say you're saved and then, you know, you get in trouble, you're lost, and you come back to Christ and you come back and they say something over you or do something over you, wave some wand and you're back into Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And then you get in trouble, you're out of Christ again.
Mm-hmm.
And being in God is not like a ping pong match. You're not going in and out, 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 out. There's stability in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
And you must understand these things.
Mm-hmm.
Now, those who stress the requirements of repenting and saying you must repent, you must believe, you must do this, they inadvertently focus in, their conception is on the problems of our personal sin. But that's
right.
not what enters into salvation.
Right.
What enters into salvation is the sin nature.
It's
not our deeds that God got a problem with. Yes, he got a problem with your deeds too, but he got a bigger problem with your makeup.
All right.
And your makeup is that you have a sinful nature. Amen. And it is these vile bodies that we inherited as the progeny of Adam that separates us from God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So that's the problem. Amen. Salvation contemplates many vast issues. And the consideration of just the personal sin, though it is included, is but a small portion of the whole. Men are confused. They attempt to blend the kingdom gospel and the gospel of grace messages, and they go into the Bible and they read things and they don't understand what they read,
mm-hmm.
and it's frightening.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, lack of knowledge,
mm-hmm.
amen, and lack of understanding
yes.
induces fear,
right.
amen. And basically, the things that we don't understand, we what?
Fear.
We fear. We fear. And so, the way that the scriptures would lead us into feeling safe and secure is for us to come to the understanding that we are not required to do various things to be saved.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Now, it's good to do good, to be good, to act good. Amen. It's just nice to be nice. Isn't it nice to be nice?
Mm-hmm.
It's nice to be nice. Amen. But you cannot be nice enough to be approved by God.
Amen.
Amen. And so when we look into things that Jesus spoke, and we read in Matthew, we read in Mark and Luke, the Synoptic Gospels, and we look at the Sermon on the Mount, and the Lord Jesus, he is saying many things.
Yes.
Most of them you couldn't come close to.
Amen.
To do it. And that's confusing to some. And that's confusing to some because they do not understand that basically the law is given to show us what we were and what we couldn't do. The law is given to show you just how bad you are.
Amen.
The law is not given with the thought that you can keep it.
Right.
Amen. What did James say? He who is guilty in just one point. The law is like taking a test and there are only two scores. Mm-hmm. 100 and zero.
Right.
If you miss one point, one problem,
one.
You flunked it. You got zero. Mm-hmm. Amen. That's what the law is like. Amen. That's the purpose of Christ. You know, we could keep the law. The men could be good. Men could come up to the standard, amen, of the things that Jesus talked about, then it would not have been necessary for Jesus Christ to die.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. He died because of our sins.
Yes. Yes.
He died to wash away our sins.
Yes.
That's where the security is. The security is in Christ. The security is in the blood.
Yes.
Security is in that he loved us and he did it for us because he knew us.
Yes, yes, yes.
God knows thank what you can't
God.
Do.
Yeah.
Amen. It's God is not shocked with the things by things that men do.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. This is why we must read the Bible.
Yes.
The Bible has to be read according to three things. First, historically. Historically,
right.
You got to know who God was talking to, who
right.
he was dealing with at the time it is said.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Otherwise, you got confusion. In the Old Testament, he's saying what? He's saying don't eat certain kind of meats. But he wasn't talking to you.
Mm-mm.
Amen. He was talking to Israel.
Mm-mm.
Amen. You know, but that it was a sin. It's a under the law. It's a sin to eat pork chops.
Mm-hmm.
And bacon.
Mm-hmm.
And ham.
And ham.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going by the law, you know, every time you eat breakfast, you're sinning.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and it's not big sin, little sin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there are many things that are spoken, but he wasn't talking to you.
Right.
Amen. Many of the old things that were said in the Old Testament. Then when you get over there into the New Testament and Jesus is talking about if your eyes offend you, pluck it out.
Mm-hmm.
If your hand offend you, cut it off. He's not talking to you. He's talking about a time in the millennial age.
Yes.
When Jesus Christ will sit on the throne
yes.
of David, he will rule the world with an iron hand. That is
yes.
the time to come. And those who are subjects on the earth, in the earth at that time,
mm-hmm.
they will do right. Because
right.
he will see to it that they do right. But
right.
he's not talking about you in this day, in this present evil age.
Amen.
Another place, Jesus said, if someone asks you to go 1 mile, go several miles.
Right.
Amen. If someone asks you for your coat,
mm-hmm.
you give them your overcoat.
Mm-hmm.
There are people that will use you up if you try to do that now.
Mm-hmm.
Many of them are relatives.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to understand when you're reading
yeah.
who he's talking to. And what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in Acts chapter 26, some have gone. Let's turn to that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's turn to Acts chapter 26. Some have gone to that passage and have set some type of standard and condition of repenting, and you must do this, and you must do that, and you must do the other. Amen. And our Lord meant what he said. He was talking to Apostle Paul. Of all the people, amen, here this man who testifies of grace, this one who says that he is a product of grace,
right,
that he is a son of grace, amen, that he is saved by God's mercy, they go and use an account of his testimony. Now, in the 26th chapter of Acts, let's start in verse 12. Now, here Paul is talking to King Agrippa. I'm going to this because of all of the nerve to go into the testimony of the Apostle Paul and try to preach and teach a message of synergism. Synergism being that God has required for you to do your part, you do your part, and he does his part, and if you do your part, he'll do his part, and then the two parts come together, and that's how you're saved. We miss the lesson of the law. That's what the law said. The law said to Israel, you do this, and God said, I will do this. That is called a bilateral covenant.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes.
Amen. And I tell you, they didn't do it. But I also tell you, you can't do it.
Amen.
Are we any better than they? Can we do what they could not do, God's covenant people? And would the Apostle Paul be given a testimony, amen, that would support such a notion? The answer is no. The answer is absolutely no. Now, he comes before King Agrippa, amen, and he begins to tell what happened. We know the story of Paul. Paul was a very zealous religious leader. He was a member, he was a Pharisee. He was a member of the Sanhedrin court. He was schooled and set under some of the greatest teachers of his time. He was a rising star. Amen. The Sanhedrin court, that would be analogous to someone sitting on the Supreme Court of the United States today. Amen. So he had it going on. And he was persecuting the Christians. It was his job to stamp him out.
Right.
Then they look up, and this same man who were trying to destroy God's people had manifestly become one of them.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
To even suggest that one day Paul woke up one day and wised up is absurd.
No way.
Amen.
No way.
No man can come to God, as Jesus states, no man can come unto the Father, amen, except what?
He is drawn.
Who draws him? God must draw him.
Yes, yes.
Amen. You and I, amen, we have not the ability to do anything. Let us stop depending upon ourselves. Amen. But it all comes back to salvation. Whatever you think about your relationship with God and being saved, it translates down to everything else in life. Everything else in life. Amen. Something happened to Paul for him to make a 180 degree turn.
Yes, sir.
And he gives his testimony here as to what is happening. What has happened to him. Amen. And it is absurd to go into this passage and take out anything to try to support a notion of someone within themselves being able to do something.
No way.
All right, everybody got the 12th verse, amen. Everybody got the 12th verse, amen.
Amen.
All right, Brother Deacon, read.
Acts chapter 26, verse 12. Whereupon, as I went through Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me.
Go up with a company, amen, to wreak havoc on the church, and something happens. He said, a great light from heaven came. And in verse 14,
and when we were all fallen to the earth,
which knocked them all down. Amen. That's a testimony I've heard many times. Amen. Oh, my God. You're on your way to do something, and your plans get changed. Right. This is why we should understand we don't have an agenda. We think we have agendas. Mm-hmm. We don't have an agenda. Amen. And that's your problem. You think you have an agenda, and you don't understand that it is God that has an agenda. Amen. And so when your supposed agenda clashes with God's agenda, amen, you got problems.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Paul was on the way to do something, and something happened. So in verse 14, they were all fallen to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened?
I heard a voice speaking unto me,
mm-hmm.
and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, who art thou, Lord?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I am Jesus,
mm-hmm.
whom thou persecutest.
Yeah. All right. Now, I want you to focus on verse 16 and verse 17 and verse 18. Read verse 16 very slowly.
But rise.
Rise.
And stand upon thy feet.
Mm-hmm.
For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose.
All right.
To make thee a minister.
Mm-hmm.
And a witness. Both
that,
of
does that sound like Paul's agenda?
That was not it.
And we're going to see in a minute from the grammar that it wasn't Paul's. It wasn't Paul's agenda.
Right.
It wasn't your plan to get saved. It's never any man's plan to come to God.
Amen. Yes.
It does not originate.
Right.
It can originate.
Right.
From human depraved flesh. Regeneration, a new birth, a born again, amen, does not arise out of the flesh. It is incorrect to assess the new birth as a succession to your first birth. It is not new birth, it is again birth. It is what God had planned for you from the beginning. That's why you don't move from something to something. You move to something from something. He said, stand up. Get on your feet.
Yes.
For I have come to you for this purpose. Whose purpose is it?
It's God's purpose.
Is it Paul's purpose?
No.
No, it's God's purpose. It's God's purpose. It's God's plan. It about you. It wasn't about Paul.
No.
It didn't matter what Paul's plans were. It didn't matter. It doesn't matter what you want to do, what you think, what your plan is. Not about your agenda. We don't really have agendas. You know, we're praying and we certainly, amen, from the human standpoint that we feel sorry for the people in the Philippines that the mudslide came and that, but what agenda do they have this morning? You never had an agenda. Paul didn't have an agenda.
Amen.
things which you have seen. You're going to be a witness.
A witness both of these things which thou hast seen.
Not only that.
And of those things in the which I will appear unto
that
thee.
I'm going, amen, to show you. I want you to see. Just bear with me. I know sometimes you all frown when I go to the grammar. Amen. But some things can only be brought out from the grammar. Amen. If you take your Greek books, your Greek Bibles first, and turn to Acts. Those of you that have Greek Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 26. And Brother Deacon, just read that verse. Acts chapter 26, verse. Just read that verse 16 from the Greek. Mm-hmm. To see how it was really stated, mm-hmm. not the way that they say it was stated. Mm-hmm. Amen. All right. Listen closely to the Greek.
But rise thou up. And stand on the feet of thee.
Now, you have two verbs there. I know I'm going into a little grammar, but that's the way we get the understanding mm-hmm. of what is being said. Mm-hmm. A verb is an action word.
Right.
He said, rise. Mm-hmm. And he said, stand. Here the Greek word for rise is anasthesti. Listen. That is in the imperative mood.
Wow.
Even in English. What's the imperative?
Command.
It is a command. But notice, it is in the aorist tense. What is the aorist tense?
Past completed action.
So you hear you had a past completed command. How do you deal with that? Also, the verb theti, which means stand. It is also an imperative mood. It is also in the aorist tense. What this is trying to say is that this was a command, a past complete, and we don't talk that way. You know, we don't talk that way in English, but the Bible can. The Lord calls things as though that are not as though they already are. Amen. Paul couldn't do no more because all Paul was doing was manifesting what God had decreed. In another place, and we won't have time to go there today, Paul said, God, call me for this ministry from my mother's womb.
Yes. Amen.
What are you talking about, Paul? That in eternity, God decreed that I would be a minister of this gospel.
Come on. Come on.
So the fact that you are in Christ this morning and saved is not as a result of your plan, but as a result of God's plan.
Yes, God.
You didn't do it. God did it. And how fragile so many ministries and doctrines make salvation. It is so fragile, you can lose it at the snap of a hand. God would turn and walk away from you. My friend, God is the reason you got where you are.
Yes.
And he knew who you were.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
What does the scripture corroboratively say? He knows your what?
Right.
Uprising and what?
Right.
your down set. In other words, he knows you coming and going. You have you mess up, you don't shock God. He knows you. He's omniscient. He knows all things. Now here was Paul, the Apostle Paul. He's out there killing Christians by his own testimony. He said, I was a persecutor, and he said, I blaspheme, and I caused many others to blaspheme. In other words, Paul would come up to him and say, you deny this Christ, are you dead? And from his testimony, evidently some of them did. Don't you laugh. You don't know what you do if somebody come up and pull a gun at you and cock the trigger and say, if you don't deny Jesus, I'm pulling this trigger. You don't know what you'll do.
You're right.
You would hope to take a stand. But Paul was a terrible man.
Sure.
He and his company, they kill people.
Yes.
Paul was a murderer. He was fighting against the Lord. The very opposite. On another occasion in Romans, book of Romans, I think it's around chapter 9 or 10, he said, during that time, I wanted to be a curse of Christ. I was wishing. I was. That was my desire. I didn't want anything to do with it. So it wasn't Paul's plan. No different with you and I. This thing is not about us. Regeneration comes out of God, not out of you.
Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes.
Then he said, I appear to you for what purpose?
To appoint thee an attendant.
To make you a witness.
And a witness.
Okay. To hear, again, some grammar got to do it.
Mm-hmm.
We have the Greek verb prokeresos there, which is an infinitive. And of course, whenever you have an infinitive, you put preposition to in front of it. To run, to go, to, you know. But this is an aorist infinitive.
Uh-oh.
And you don't just walk away from the aorist tense. So if I was going to be a strict constructionist, ignoring even the Greek grammatical rules that tells us that we should ignore the aorist tense, I can't because it's there. This was read to a point, having a point.
Having a point.
I've come to manifestly appoint you because in eternity I have already appointed you.
Right.
So Paul had an appointment just to manifest. God is not like a man that will lie. If God decrees something in eternity, it's got to come to pass in time.
Got you. Yes.
And we must understand that. So he was made. And then, keep reading.
And a witness of the things which, both which thou sawest me, of the things and which I will appear to thee.
Not only the things that has been witness of me. Here you have an indicative aorist, which that is a past completed fact. But also things, I'm going to read it just like it would read in the Greek, we have the Greek verb there, ophthisomi, which is translated literally, I will be perceived, I will be observed, I will be seen, I will appear. That is an indicative future. How do you get a future fact? You can't, because it can't be a fact until it comes to pass. Amen. But the Word of God speaks of it in terms of a future fact. Future fact has to go back to God's decree.
Right.
If God said it, listen to me. If God has said it, even if you don't see it, doesn't matter that you haven't seen it. If God said it, it's come to pass. It exists.
Mm-hmm. 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 All right.
And what did God manifest to show Paul? Mm-hmm. He showed him a whole volume of truth that he had not given to any of the rest of the apostles.
That's right.
Things that, according to Paul's testimony, things that had been kept secret.
Right.
Now, Paul wasn't even thinking about God. He wasn't thinking about Jesus, except in a negative way. And I submit to you this morning that you weren't really thinking about Jesus. Mm-hmm. You didn't wake up one day and get smart.
Mm-hmm.
If you start thinking Jesus, it's because he calls you to start thinking Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Yes. Amen.
Read the 17th verse right quickly. Give me 5 minutes and I'm going to bail out today.
Delivering thee from the people and from the nations to whom I send thee.
Those that I'm taking, that which I'm. Those same ones, is that something? You ever thought about this?
Come on.
Same group that he was killing, he got to go beyond them and become one of them. You ever thought about that? And many of them. You know how we are.
Yes.
They were leery to Paul, or Paul, all the way to his grave.
Yes.
They never trusted him. They thought he was a spy.
Amen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Can the Lord turn you around?
Amen.
That's the only way you'll be turned around.
That's right.
All right, verse 18. Mm-hmm. Right quickly.
To open eyes of them. To turn from darkness to light, and the authority of Satan to God.
Okay, again you have an aorist infinitive. This should read to open, have an open eyes. In other words, you're going to manifestly carry out what I have already decreed. I have said it was going to happen, and it happened because I said it would happen.
Right.
So when eyes are open, it is only a manifestation.
All right, come on.
Yes, come on.
We think that we are saved.
Come on, pal.
When we know it.
Mm-hmm.
If you are saved, you were saved from the time that God knew you.
Come on.
Not from the time that you knew him.
Mm-hmm.
You know how we have everything. Everything has to revolve. You know, we've been taught that we're the center of the universe, and everything revolves around us.
Mm-hmm.
And a thing doesn't happen until we know it. Mm-hmm. It's not true.
Mm-hmm.
Here it reads, using the Greek, religiously using the Greek, I should say. To open, having open eyes. When did he open the eyes of those who responded to the gospel? In eternity. When God decreed it. When God declared it.
Yes.
It was a set thing. Mm-hmm. It was no accident.
No, no. Mm-hmm.
To open eyes and to do what?
To open the eyes of them, to turn them.
To turn them what?
From darkness.
From darkness
to light.
To light. And the authority
and
what?
And the authority of Satan to God.
So, this reads again, and I'll cut off here today. You have the Greek infinitive. Epirese, which is an infinitive.
Mm-hmm.
It is an aorist infinitive. It is translated turn. So this should read to turn, having turned from doctors to, oh my God, and from the authority of Satan to God. What is this saying? Having, that means past completed action. That means that this thing was already decreed of God, and it happened when God decreed it.
Yeah.
Amen. And Paul, amen, you are only in the manifestation mode of what I have already said.
Yeah.
And it happens when I say it, not when you see it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Thank God.
So don't try to drop that on the Apostle Paul. Amen. You didn't come to Christ because you changed your mind.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
And yes, you did change your mind. Didn't Paul change his mind? He changed his mind. But that's not when it happened. Not according to the grammar.
That's right.
It happened when God decreed it.
Mm-hmm.
And God decreed, amen, Paul said, from my womb, this mother's womb, amen, this thing was set.
Yeah.
Before I was born, it was set.
Yeah.
Before you were born, yeah, amen, God chose you.
Hallelujah.
Before you were born, God set an appointment for you.
Yeah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
And if you understand this, then you're not shaky about your position in God or your position in Christ. You're not got to go around worrying about, amen, are you going to get to heaven? My friend, you have an appointment that you're just keeping that was set by God,
yeah,
and it already happened,
yeah,
because the thing happens when God perceives it, not when you know it.
Yes, sir. Glory to God. Yes.
If God just thinks it, that's when it happens. Because if he thinks it, it must come to pass. And so the salvation of those whom God has called, not based upon you and yours, and how you're doing and what you're doing. Amen. And if we ever get this lesson and understand and internalize this, then life takes on a new meaning. You're not seeking to be saved. You're not seeking to get to heaven. You're not seeking to try to do anything. Amen. It is not you and your agenda. It is God's agenda. God called you. He put your hand on you, just like he put his hand on this man, Apostle Paul. You belong to God. And God didn't even save Paul to please Paul. God saved Paul to save, to please God. To please himself. He didn't save you to please you. He saved you to please himself. Now, I don't know how it pleased God to save me. Don't even ask me that. Amen. Because I know me. Okay? I'm just grateful that he did.
Amen.
But I'm grateful for the knowledge that this thing is operating on God's program.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It's not mine.
Yes, sir.
And what's the value of that? What's the benefit of that? As we go through life, any and everything is happening every day. Ups and downs. Problems. Troubles. We make mistakes. We make mistakes every day, don't we? Oh, yes, we do. And if this thing was dependent upon us, very shaky. Very shaky. But the Bible is teaching us that this thing is not dependent upon you at all. It's dependent upon God and what He has done. David made a big mistake. You know the story of David and Bathsheba and Uriah. Terrible thing. He committed both adultery and murder. What did God say? He's a man after my own heart. Not based upon David. Do we bring this up to say just go out and do it? Oh no, oh no, oh no, oh no. You don't need this lesson to do bad. Just be yourself and you do bad. No. But here, this is to give us the assurance that what we are in Christ, we are. And nothing can ever change what you are in Christ. If you are in Christ, you can never, ever, ever, ever be out of Christ. David says, as I go to my seat, amen, concerning the one whose record is dead, he said, if the Lord regarded iniquity, what?
Oh Lord, who could stand?
Who would stand? Who would be saved? Amen. It's not based upon that. And so, look to Him and look to the fact that He has saved you. And let your joy and let your peace and let your tranquility rest in the fact that you have eternal relationship with God that cannot be altered. Mountains may fall, oceans may flood, catastrophes may come, storms may rage. Amen. Hallelujah. But whatever is going down, amen, it cannot. Everybody say cannot.
Cannot.
It cannot alter what God has done. That's what regeneration, born again, really means. God bless you.
Thank you, Lord. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory.